Good afternoon, everyone. This is Living the Good Life from Beacon of Hope Ministries in Clearwater, Florida. I am Pastor Marcia McAllister, and I am so glad to be back in the studio today. I took a few days off to go to Indiana for the birth of my great-granddaughters, identical twins. And they actually were born about 3.5 weeks ago, but I'll tell you what, I got to spend several days with them, and it was absolutely wonderful to be with my son and the family and grandkids and great-grandkids now and all of that. So that's where I was last week. So Pastor Jim did a great job of hosting, and today, part of our radio team is in Indiana, actually, and that's Betty and her daughter Megan, and they will be joining me in a little while on this show. But it's always good to be able to share the Word of God with all of you on a weekly basis. I never get tired of doing this show, always excited to be here, always looking forward to opening the Word of God and teaching and chatting and having great music, which we do again today, as always, have some really good songs on the show today. So we're glad you've joined us, and if you have a friend or family member that you think might enjoy the show, give them a call. We're here for 2 hours, 3 to 5 Tampa time. And when we began the show almost 7 years ago, we started out with a one-hour show, and then it went to an hour and a half, and then eventually went to 2 hours. And even then, we all talk about how quickly it goes by for us and how much we enjoy speaking the Word, sharing what God is doing in our lives, sharing the praise reports, talking to you about the amazing relationship that we can each have with our Lord and Savior, with Jesus. And we just love to talk about Him, and we love to share what God is doing in each of our lives, because He is. It's amazing, all the answers to prayer that we get on a continual basis. And we always mention this on the show, but it's extremely important that we mention it every week, that we have a 365, 24/7 prayer line available for whoever wants to use it. And it's by email. And the email address is prayers@bohmglobal.com. And we welcome you to send any prayer requests that you have to the prayer line. And Carol, part of our radio team up in Georgia, and Pastor Jim, my associate pastor, are the ones who usually gather those requests on a daily basis and send out all of the prayer requests and the answers, praise reports that come in. We really want to hear from you when you get your answer, when God has healed somebody's body, when the job has been obtained that someone was needing, or finances have been provided for, or whatever the situation is that's going on in your life. We want to hear from you prayer-wise and praise reports also, both of those. So we absolutely encourage you to use our prayer line, even if you are not a part of our local church here in Clearwater, Florida. It does not matter at all. The prayer line is open to anyone, anywhere, anytime. So we hope you use it. Prayers@BOHM, that stands for Beacon of Hope Ministries, BOHMglobal.com. So be sure and take advantage of that, because so many of us are going through difficult times in our lives on a daily basis. There's just a lot going on in this world at this time. Climate issues are going on, illnesses, relationship problems. There's all kinds of things. And if you feel like you need somebody to pray with you about something that's going on, we want to hear from you. So prayers at bohmglobal.com. A prayer will be sent out, and the prayer team, which is a lot of people scattered around the United States, will pray for your need. So we're excited about today's show. We are starting a new series today. I actually began it this morning in our morning worship service in Clearwater. And we're going to continue today on the radio with this new series. And it is entitled Free to Be, dot, 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 three little dots after that, Free to Be. And we're going to explain what that means. And we're basing this new series in the book of Galatians. And we're also going to be intertwining parts of the book of Acts with this series. And I think it will really be a blessing to you. The goal is to become free from anything and everything that binds us up, that hinders us from being able to be all that God has created us to be. Jeremiah 29, 11 to 14 has been the founding scripture of this show ever since we began in April of 07. And it says, this is the Lord speaking, "For I know the plans I have for you, plans to prosper you and to bless you." And that's really what it's all about. God has plans. And he goes on to say plans to for your welfare, not for your harm. God wants to bless you. No matter what it is you're going through right now, there is an answer to your problem, and there is a blessing attached to that answer. And God wants to do that in your life. And that's what this show is all about, to teach you how the Word of God can absolutely bless your life and change your life on a daily basis. So that's what we're about. And the new series is Free to Be, and based on the book of Galatians. So if you are not driving down the road, you're sitting in your home and you can open your Bible, let's go to the book of Galatians in the New Testament. And we will get back with you in a minute on that. This first song is by a very popular Christian artist right now, Francesca Battistelli. And this one is Free to Be Me. There we go.
At 20 years of age, I'm still looking for a dream. A war's already waged for my destiny. But you've already won the battle, and you've got great plans for me. Though I can't always see, 'cause I got a couple dents in my fender, got a couple rips in my jeans. When I was just a girl, I thought I had it figured out. See, my life would turn out right, and I'd make it here somehow. But things don't always come that easy, and sometimes I would doubt. Oh, 'cause I got a couple dents in my fender, got a couple rips in my jeans. Try to fit the pieces together, but perfect. Sometimes I believe that I can do anything, yet other times I think I've got nothing good to bring. But you look at my heart and you tell me that I've got all you see.
You're free to be you. I'm free to be me, and you're free to be you. What a great song. I have not heard that one before, and Connie put it on this show, and I love it. Perfection is my enemy. I love that line, and you have great plans for me, and that's what we were just talking about, and that's how God just ties things together, because he does have great plans for you and for me. And, you know, we have got to just learn to allow God's Holy Spirit to do a fresh work in us and teach us the importance of being free to be who we really are, who God created us to be. It says in Psalm 139 that God knew you in your mother's womb, and he did. That he created you and knew you, and he created you in a unique way. You are who you are. And so we're going to talk about that here in Galatians, and the whole idea is becoming free in God. Paul wrote the book of Galatians, and Paul was not one of the original disciples. Paul was, however, the one who wrote about two-thirds of the New Testament. What an amazing man of God he was. And Paul was absolutely in tune with the power of the Holy Spirit. And he, as he writes these books in the New Testament, one of these is the book of Galatians to the church at Galatia. There had been become a problem in that church where there were so many people that were wanting to simply live by rules and not allow people to be who they really were. There was no freedom here in the church of Galatia, and it was really, it had caused a problem. And I want to start with Galatians 2, about verse 8, and then verse 6. Betty and Megan on the line? Yep. Yes. Somewhere, right? There we go.
Unless we lost them. We have Megan.
I'm there. Are you there? Are you there, Pastor?
All right. We got Megan. All right. Do we have your mom, too?
I don't know. She should be calling in any minute.
Okay.
Yeah, she hasn't called in yet, but
we'll All right. So we got you, Megan. All right. We're going to start.
I'm early.
Okay. That's good. Galatians 2:6. As for those who were considered important in the church, their reputation doesn't concern me. Paul's talking about people who in churches just get, you know, full of themselves, get, you know, oh, look at me, you know, whatever. They, in fact, I think a lot of times power goes to people's heads in churches and causes a lot of problems and a lot of division when people want to be the one who makes the decisions or, you know, self-important type stuff going on. And Paul goes on to say here in Galatians 2:6, God isn't impressed with mere appearances, and neither am I. Boy, is that true. And of course, these leaders were able to add nothing to the message I had been preaching. And this is Paul talking here. It was soon evident that God had entrusted me with the same message to the non-Jews as Peter had been preaching to the Jews. So Peter was the one that had been commissioned to really minister to the Jewish people. Even though Paul was Jewish, he was not commissioned by God with that same ministry. His ministry was to reach out to the non-Jews. So in going on in the Message Bible, recognizing that my calling had been given by God, oh, wow. Now that, Megan, I want to talk to you about in a moment. When people's calling is given by God, and then sometimes when people say they're called of God and they are not. But Paul said, people recognized that my calling had been given by God. James, Peter, and John, those were the three closest people to Jesus when he walked this earth. Peter, James, and John, those three disciples. These were the guys that were with him on the mountain, the Mount of Transfiguration. They were very, very close to Jesus. And it says here in the Message Bible, they were pillars of the church, and they were. And it says, Paul said, they shook hands with me and Barnabas. And Barnabas was another missionary, an early missionary. And they assigned us to a ministry to the non-Jews while they continued to be responsible for reaching out to the Jews. The only additional thing that they asked was that we remember the poor, and I was already eager to do that. Megan, I want to talk to you for a second about this calling of God on our lives. I mean, Paul knew that God had spoken to him and had commissioned him to spread the gospel. And then he says right here, to the non-Jews. It's interesting that sometimes we recognize our calling, but other people may not want to recognize it for one reason or another, right?
True, and they might also believe that you're a false prophet.
Well, true, and then sometimes that happens, right?
But we have to remember, whether we're Christian or not, we are not to judge others.
Exactly.
That is a sin.
Right.
So whether someone has a calling on their life or not, that is their decision, that if they do have a calling on their life, and, you know, everybody's calling is different.
Right.
And I'm sure the way that God talks to everyone is totally different. But that person knows in their knower
right.
that they have been called to do what they're doing.
Right.
And I'll tell you what, Marcia, if they are a false prophet, then when their time comes to stand in front of the kingdom of God, they're going to answer questions as to, you know, why were you walking and giving false prophecies?
Right.
I mean, that will happen.
Right.
But, you know, when you have a calling on your life, it's such a strong pull. It's like
it is, yes.
It's like a desire that just eats you alive.
Right.
Until you do it, then you're not at peace. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. And I also agree that as you begin to minister in that calling, whatever it is, that peace begins to reign in your heart because you know you're right where God has you, you know?
Amen.
And sometimes people can try to say, are you sure God's got his hand on you? Are you sure you're called to be a missionary, let's say, or to teach the word, or to be the head of children's ministry? People will come against us in the ministry. That happens all the time. It really does. And as we go into this next little section here, we see that Paul had to really take a stand against some things. Betty, are you on with us now?
Yes, I am here.
All right. We are glad you are here, and your daughter, Megan.
Yes.
What a blessing you guys are. We're glad you're here. We started this new series, Betty and Megan, Free to Be, and we started it this morning at Beacon in our morning service. And I tell you, it was powerful what God was doing. Because the enemy really wants us bound up in different areas of our lives. The devil never wants us free. He always wants us looking over our shoulder, worried about what somebody else thinks about us, or afraid of this or that. And Megan and I were just talking, Betty, about how sometimes you know in your knower that you're called of God, that he's got his hand on you for whatever purpose, whatever it might be. And people try to tell us sometimes, oh, that's not God. Oh, why are you doing that? Or why would you? Well, let's just take you two, for instance. Why would you want to be on the radio? Why would you want to be ministering to people that you don't even know? You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yes. And, you know, it's what Megan said just a few minutes ago, you know in your knower.
Right.
That God wants you. And
right.
Again, what you said, along comes the peace.
Yes, yes.
But you feel empowered when you're doing something that you know where God wants you.
Right.
Because you have a peace that passes all understanding.
Amen.
And you feel, I feel it in my spirit that if I'm doing something that the Lord wants me to do,
right,
I have peace.
Oh, amen.
But then when you minister to someone or you're talking to them and you give them a word of knowledge or you tell a child that Jesus loves them,
right,
you see the reaction on their face.
Right.
You see a spiritual change in their physical appearance. I mean, their whole, everything about them changes, and that's the cool part of seeing how God works.
Oh, amen. And that is really seeing the fruit of your labor, you know? And a lot of times people enter into, you know, surrender. Let's say they enter into surrender to God and say, okay, God, I'll do what you want me to do. I'll go where you want me to go. Not realizing what that's going to mean. Because so often it means inconvenience. It means sometimes that people turn against you. It means a lot of times misunderstanding, that people do not understand why you're stepping out for God in a given area in your life or in the church. And a lot of times it causes people to really turn on you. Megan, talk to me about this because I know you know what I'm talking about. It's not easy to stand up and say, I've got the calling of God on my life, is it?
No, it's not, because when you do that, you can face persecution.
Right.
And in my own life, I have. And
right.
I, along the way, have, unfortunately, sadly lost a couple of close friendships.
Right.
Because I chose to step up out of the mucky water and, you know, step out where I could have some peace.
Right.
And I could live a life free of worry and anxiety. And when I did that, you know, it's like, well, what's the matter with you? Why are you so happy? And it's like, you know, because I choose to praise my Creator and my Heavenly Father, and I don't have to live the way that I was living. So if you're, you know, it's just basically, if people aren't comfortable being around you, if they can't handle the Holy Spirit on you and they can't handle you, then there may be people that you're going to lose in your life.
Right.
And,
yes.
And it is sad, but if we want to truly walk and support our calling as we're supposed to do, because each and every person that's created on this earth has a calling. And if we choose to do that, sometimes we're going to have to drop off some baggage.
Absolutely. And you said it's time to be free of worry and anxiety. And I tell you, we are really going to deal with those two issues today on this show. Worry and anxiety and what they do to us. It's time to be free of that worry and anxiety. And it's not just in relation to somebody out there maybe saying, well, I'm not called to be a pastor, so this doesn't apply to me. No, 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 no. Megan's right. Everybody's got a calling. You're called to be free. You're called to be all that you can be in God. You're called to let go of the things that hold you down and keep you back from becoming all that you can be in God. You're free. You're called to be free. And that's what this is all about. Betty, talk to me about this, because I think so many people feel like if they're not called into, quote unquote, one of the ministry gifts, like pastor, evangelist, you know, missionary, this type of thing, if they're not called into that, that God doesn't have anything for them to do.
Oh, that is not true.
Not true. Right. There you go.
You know what is so cool about the Lord, and there are so many things that we can do that people don't feel like that are a part of God's ministry.
Okay.
It's just like if you work in a homeless shelter.
Right.
And you're giving blankets and you're giving food, you're giving water. The Bible tells us that if you give someone, you know, you give them a drink of water.
Right.
You feed them. That's still a part of God's ministry, because you're ministering to His people.
Amen.
And it's just like with me and the children's ministry, there are a lot of people that feel like that the children's ministry is just a babysitting service.
Right.
For the adults, so they can go into the sanctuary and have church. Well, let me tell you what happens back in a children's ministry if you don't feel like that a children's minister can minister God and His power. Is that, I mean, we, children are saved, children are healed, children are set free of
exactly
the same fear and anxiety.
Right.
It's amazing just seeing people that are that just sit back in a seat or sit in a pew and they just sit there.
Right.
And God is saying, hey, I can use you. Are you listening to me? And a lot of times we don't hear that small, sweet voice call that talks to us.
And, you know, go ahead.
It's just, it breaks his heart.
Right.
Because there is so much to do.
There is.
so little time.
There is so much to do. And I think that if we just say, God, tell me, you know, lead me, what direction are you taking me, maybe in your total life or maybe just on a daily basis? Lord, I'm open today to minister to somebody. I'm open to pray for somebody. Lord, if you want me to speak a kind word to somebody, put them in my path. Things like this, if we are open to that, God is going to use every single one of us. Amen. And it's not just the people that are in leadership. You know, it's not in a church. It's not that. In fact, so many of our listeners probably have had experiences in churches where they've been hurt, where they've had things happen that they just don't even want to go to church anymore. I hear this a lot. People are just like, oh, I don't want to do that. I'll just worship God alone. And there is such benefit to being in the corporate setting and having other people around that understand where you're coming from. We had a powerful, powerful service today at Beacon of Hope. And a lot of people were ministered to at the end of the service and prayed over. And there were prophetic words and there was a lot going on. God was moving mightily. And had those people stayed home in bed, they would have missed a blessing. You know, so back to this point here, Paul knew he had a calling on his life. But he also knew that because of his past, and his past was that he had persecuted Christians, he had had some of them killed, he was rounding up Christians and trying to throw them in jail. This was before God got a hold of his life in Acts chapter 9 or 8, I believe 8. And he had the experience on the road to Damascus. Prior to that, Paul was a Christian hater and a Christian persecutor. And he was a killer of Christians. And yet God took that individual who had such a quote-unquote checkered past and turned it around and caused him to be the writer of two-thirds of the New Testament. Megan, talk to me about that. Isn't this amazing? Doesn't this give all of us hope? You know?
Oh, it sure. It definitely does. And it just goes to show you, it doesn't matter what road you've traveled down,
right,
what you've done, who you've persecuted,
right,
who you've hurt, that God, if you ask for forgiveness, will erase your past.
Amen. Amen. Yes.
Yes, and you can, it's a clean slate. You can start over, just like Paul did. I mean, he did some really bad stuff.
Right.
And, you know, look what he did for, 14-plus years?
Right.
Ministered to people. And, you know, him having the experiences of judging other people and, you know, tormenting other people, that when he made his life right, when God put his grip on him and
right,
said, hey, look, I want you to do this. If not, you're in trouble. He said, Lord, please heal me and I will do your work. And he
That's
brought
right,
so many people to God.
Amen.
Turned his life around, and that is just a miraculous, one of the miraculous stories in the Bible.
Well,
of many.
Where would we all be right now without two-thirds of the New Testament? Because
exactly,
Paul wrote that, inspired by God Almighty through Paul's pen and through his dictation. How would we be today without all these words of insight and wisdom? And it took obedience. Paul saying, okay, I will do this. And it took surrender. We're back to that point, Betty, where we come to a point in our lives where we say, God, I hear you. I hear you talking to me. I hear you calling me to step out of my old ways of doing things and enter into the rest of my life. And I believe that's what God's doing right now, Betty. He is calling people to step out of that old familiar pattern of living and thinking and move forward into the new day. Are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
We're having a couple audio issues here and there. So, but go ahead. Go ahead. Talk to me.
You know, it's amazing to me what the calling out of the people that God wants to work
yeah,
for him is that there plays a big factor called fear.
Oh, that's the other thing we're going to deal with on this show.
And I know you're going to talk about that later, but it inhibits people from
yes,
stepping out and saying, okay, God, use me.
Right.
Because they're afraid of what, let's just take a young person who's involved, you know, with a lot of other young people that are not saved or not Christians. And all of a sudden, this child becomes a child of God.
Right.
And then he goes back into his so-called group or crowd, and they see a change in him, and they'll go, what happened to you?
Right.
But getting to that point of pulling out of that group, stepping outside that box, stepping outside that comfort zone,
yes,
brings us out to say, okay, God, here I am.
Amen.
And it came to that point with me several months ago, not to bring my...
No, please bring it. No, go ahead. Please do.
But you're so comfortable where you are because, you know, I'm setting up in a house with my horses and my dogs and my cats. And God says, hey, guess what? You're moving. And it's like, I'm what?
Right.
You know, and it brings a little bit of timidity back.
Sure.
Saying, are you sure this is what you want me to do?
Right.
Yes, I do, because there's a new chapter that you have to start in your book.
Amen.
And that's where I want you to go, because you can become so complacent and so not in tune with what God has you to do that you, I call it the avoidance factor.
Sure.
Because you don't want to get into church because you don't want to get involved. You don't want to become involved in a ministry because you're afraid that God's going to have you, you know, take you out of your comfort zone.
Right.
And we have to say, yes, God.
Amen. Amen. And, you know, this is where Paul had to get, you know, where, I mean, seriously, God knocked him off his horse, you know. And here he is laying in the road, blinded by this bright light from in Acts. And he's at a place where God says, hey, Paul, why are you persecuting me? And he goes, wait a minute, who are you? And he goes, I'm Jesus whom you're persecuting. Oh, wow. And you got to imagine that Paul was going, oh, my gosh, have I messed up? You really are real, you know? I mean, yeah. You know, he was probably going, oh, my gosh. So Paul, and we're going to talk more about this next week, but Paul actually takes time with God. He goes away for a period of 14 years and just studies and listens to God. He goes away for another 3 years. And there's this time period where Paul is just like in the workshop of the Holy Spirit, where he is allowing God to teach him and talk to him, where he's probably having so many intense conversations with God where Paul is going, wait a minute, no, I'm not worthy to be out here ministering and doing this and doing that and preaching. Don't you remember I'm the one that persecuted you, you know? And I imagine there was quite a battle going on there for a while. And Megan, it's okay, isn't it, when we go through these times in our lives when we know God is calling us to step up to a new level in him. And sometimes we really kind of kick against that. We are like, wow, I don't know if I can. That's going to require a lot of courage, or that's going to require changes, like your mom is talking about, Megan, in my life. Can I do that? Should I do that? You know, talk to me, Meg.
Right. Well, you know, and it's a fear factor.
I mean, we're back to that word again. Yes,
exactly. It's like going on a new roller coaster, you know, one of the top ones in the country, that you're going to drop so many odd feet that you feel like that you're going to, you know, jump off the oblivion and
right.
never come out.
Right.
But like when you mentioned that Paul was in a workshop for 14 years,
right.
it just comes to my mind is how many people actually sit down and have a workshop with God
right.
on a daily basis.
Good point.
And if we did that, if we got out our Bible, our tool, and we were sitting in our workshop and we spent time talking to God,
yep.
as he is our Father, talking to him like a child, telling him how you feel, telling him all of your worries, and that you're scared,
Right.
And, you know, that you're fearful of change. And Lord, help me embrace change.
Because right.
Because part of change is evolving as a Christian.
Right.
And you're going to experience change on a daily basis. And that's one of the things that we have to learn is to embrace, is that when we are faced with, excuse me, with a trial or a hard time in our life, we need to learn to charge it head on
right.
and realize that God and Jesus are fighting our fight for
Amen.
Us, not us to, for us to do.
Amen.
We need to rely on Him. And when we get to that point, if we can just give a little smidgen of release of ourselves, things always work out for the best. Sometimes it doesn't happen in our timing.
In our timing,
you know,
right.
You know, I want my, you know, I'm needing to sell my house so that I can, you know, help move down and take care of my parents' home so that they can move to Mississippi, but it's not in my timing how quickly
right.
the property is going to sell or even if it will. I
right.
have no idea. I have to rely on the Lord
right.
to His will be done, and that's the way we have to look at it.
Exactly. And the verse you mentioned a minute ago, Romans 8:28, one of my all-time favorites. And we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God and are called according to His purpose.
Amen.
And I think a lot of times we get hung up on our purpose. What is my purpose for my life? What do I want to accomplish on this earth? What do I want to get done? What, you know, da, 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 da. We can get very hung up on my purpose instead of God's purpose. Talk to me, Betty.
Well, I think when you look back, Pastor, that people want and sometimes have doubted the Lord.
Right.
Because things just didn't turn out the way that they
exactly.
wanted.
Yes.
T-H-E-Y. That's not what they wanted. But God knows us from the very time that we enter the womb
right.
until the time that we take our last breath.
Right.
He has our steps numbered and wants us to go in the right direction. But if we happen to take a wrong turn, which, you know, sometimes we do if we don't have our GPS right.
Right.
Is that God's protection service is always there to protect us and to take us where we need to go. It's just that we have to move over and let Him guide us. But we have this, and I have to admit, I'm one of them, is that sometimes I would rather drive than let Him do it. And it's only because I'm stubborn. I love the Lord with all my heart, but there's still that human part of me that thinks, I can do it better. Well, you know what? I have messed up so many times that you'd think that I would get the hint to let God do it.
Right.
But we sometimes our timing and God's timing, like what Meg was saying, are not the same.
You know, when you were saying that just now, it reminded me of some scripture in Psalm 37, and I just turned to it. And it's in verse 23 of Psalm 37. If the Lord delights in a man's way, He makes his steps firm. Though he stumble, he will not fall, for the Lord upholds him with his hand. I was young and now I am old, yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken or their children begging bread. They are always generous and lend freely. Their children will be blessed. And really, it goes on there, for the Lord loves the just and will not forsake his faithful ones. They will be protected forever, and the righteous will inherit the land and dwell in it forever. And I think so often we get so caught up in what you were talking about, Betty, about our own way of doing it, our own okay, God, you got a plan for my life. You got a calling on my life. Okay, here's how I think we should do this, you know? And yet God has our steps ordained. He really does know where He is leading us. Back to Jeremiah 29:11-14, for I know the plans I have for you, plans to bless you, prosper you, plans to give you a future and a hope, you know? And that's what God has for us. We've got to change our mindset and realize that if God's calling us in an area of our lives, He is able to lead our steps day by day, moment by moment. Megan, talk to me about that.
You're totally right on, and I totally agree with you, because I can just imagine, you know, here God is watching all of his children down here, and you say to him one day, you know, I'm just going to do this on my own and see what happens. And I'm sure that, you know, he might like let out a chuckle, kind of like, well, you go ahead and try, and I'll still be right here beside you, but you're always going to end up back where I want you.
Right.
And because that he knows the plan. He's the only one that knows the plan for your life.
Right.
And we need to quit trying to figure it out.
Amen.
And the other thing we need to quit doing is, and I've done this myself, is, you know, oh, there's always tomorrow. Well, don't be so sure about that. So if you're willing to change, you need to do it today, not tomorrow, and you need to quit making excuses.
Boy, that's an interesting point, and that's an excellent point. And not to put off and procrastinate what God has for your life. Some of you out there are listening and going, but I'm not sure what he has for my life. You talk to him about it. You say, God, what do you have for me? You know, maybe some of you need to become an active part of a church somewhere, or maybe you need to be a part of this ministry, this radio ministry, supporting it financially, or becoming a part of it and letting us hear from you and that kind of thing. Whatever God has for you, maybe you need to be helping out in the soup kitchen somewhere. There are so many things that we can be doing. Maybe you're called to be a prayer, an intercessor, and God has that plan for you. You will find that out through times of prayer and intercession. And we're going to talk more about this in Galatians chapter 2, getting ready for verse 11 in a moment. But let's listen to this new song by Mike's Chair, is the name of the group. Let the Waters Rise.
Don't know where to begin. It's like my world's caving in. And I try, but I can't control my fear. Do I go from here? Sometimes it's so hard to pray when you feel so far away, but I am willing to go where you want me to. God, I trust you. There's a raging sea right in front of me, wants to pull me.
I am always amazed how God puts the right song at the right time in our discussion, because we don't plan this. Connie waits, you know, I give her a theme as what the show's going to be about, but then she asks God to show her what songs. Betty and Megan, could you believe that song?
That was beautiful. I've never heard that before.
Yes, there's a raging sea right in front of me. I can't control my fear, so I will follow you. How perfect are those words? Betty, talk to me about this, because that's how a lot of us feel. And maybe some of our listening audience right now, it feels like there's a raging sea right in front of us. So much that we just like, how are we going to get through this next few days or this next few months or years? Go ahead.
Well, I think, you know, when you're in an open sea, that you can't see land. You can't even begin to imagine, how am I going to get where I'm supposed to go?
Right.
That, you know, things, you know, there's things to the left of me, there's things to the right of me, there's trouble behind me, you know, you're just whirling in a whirlwind. But we forget that the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords rules that sea.
Amen. Amen.
And that, you know what, Pastor? That King of Kings and that Lord of Lords walked on that water.
Right.
And he did it so that we could have enough faith to get through.
Amen.
And, you know, and I've told you before, I heard this a long time ago, that today's trials are tomorrow's testimonies.
Oh, and that's so true. That is so true. Ugh.
And I've heard Sister Carol say that, you know, before, that, we have to go through those rough seas those restless waters, so that we know that our lifeguard or our lifesaver is only just a prayer away. He knows everything that we go through, and we're thinking, God, you know, I can't take anymore. But you know what? His word says that he will not put any more on us than we can handle.
Right, and we can take it, and we will take it, and we can move forward. You are exactly right. And so often we get bogged down with the daily grind, or seeing that sea, that rough sea in front of us, and not thinking we can navigate it. But right. You're right. God gives wisdom, and he really, you know, we're talking about fear, worry, and anxiety today. And this is what happens, especially when we step out and say, all right, God, I'm moving out for you. And we get out there on that raging sea, and we get afraid, and things begin to happen to us. And we just like, why am I stepping out for God? Megan, you know what I'm talking about, girl. You want to talk about it?
Sure. You know, and when you're out there in the raging sea, some of us tend to flail around like we're drowning. And
right.
If we just pray and ask for support, he'll be our lifesaver. He'll send us the tools that we need to get out of the quote-unquote raging waters.
Exactly.
By praying. He'll talk to you. We just have to listen. I mean, you know, you can tune it out, but there's always going to be some way he's going to get your attention. Just like with Paul. I mean, he may have, you know, tried to get Paul's attention, but he had to be so drastic that he had to blind the man
right.
to his attention.
Exactly.
I mean, that's pretty bold. And it is. But he can do that because, you know, he tries desperately on a daily basis to get a hold of his children and say, hey, I'm here for you. No matter how down and despaired you might be, or how deep you're down in the water, he will pull you out. You just
Amen.
Have to let him help.
Amen. And so often the plan we think is going that it's going to pull us out doesn't pull us out, you know, the way we think it's going to go. A few years, I'm a kayaker, as you guys know, and I don't know if I've told you guys this story, Betty and Megan, but a few years ago, I was on a Saturday afternoon, a friend of mine and I were going to go out kayaking, and my brother-in-law said to me as I loaded my kayak, you know, I don't think it's going to be good later on this afternoon. You better be careful. Oh, I said, it's going to be fine. Look at the sun. Look at the sky. It's just gorgeous. Well, long story short, and I won't go into all the details, but for the next couple hours, it was absolutely beautiful out there. and kayaking around. Everything was good. Everything was fine. And we were clear across. And Betty, Megan, you know where that is, Caladese, in that area over there. And we were clear over there, and it's time to start back. And we just started paddling back, and this huge storm came up. And I've never been in a storm like that in my kayak. And my friend went on. She was younger and stronger, and she just kept paddling and just kept going. But my boat was bigger and heavier, and the storm kept throwing me into these rocks on Dog Beach, which is across from Caladese. And it just kept pushing me into these rocks, and I got thrown into these rocks like 3 times. I mean, great big rocks, and I could not. The storm was coming so bad. The rain was pulling down so bad. I could not get out of that mess. And, I mean, the only way I knew to get over to land was to paddle clear over there, but there didn't seem to be a way to do it because I was constantly pushed back. Finally, after about the 3rd time of being smashed into those rocks, I thought, okay, God, you've got a plan. And I said it, God, I don't know what your plan is, but I'm going to try something different. I got out of my boat, and I pulled my boat up onto the shore over there, the beach over there, and took it to a place of safety, and I started walking around the whole island. I eventually got around, eventually got it back, got the boat and everything. But I tell you, it's this type of a, and I just felt led to share that picture with you all, because there are times that even though it starts, a project or a ministry starts out sunny, there are times that those winds come and they just batter you up against the rocks. And sometimes you got to make a change. You got to do something different. You got to follow the leading of the Holy Spirit. I eventually got to land, obviously, and so did my kayak, or I wouldn't be sitting here today.
Right.
So anyway, talk to me, Betty. I mean, because sometimes we get so confused because we start out, say, on a sunny day in whatever project we're in, and it looks like everything's fine, and then the devil comes and attacks and pushes us right into the rocks. You know what I'm talking about?
Oh, yeah, and he's a wolf in sheep's clothing.
Yeah, he sure is.
For what that means is that, you know, things can seem so good, and you think, yeah, I'm doing this, and then all of a sudden, it's just like that storm came in and just tried to nab you right out of the ocean.
Right.
And that's what happens, is
right,
that when we start our day, the best way to start out that day is with the sun, the S-O-N.
Yes.
Is giving him your day, putting on the full armor of God, and telling him, Lord, this is what I want to start out with. But most of us don't do that. As soon as we hit the floor, we just end up running. And most, it's like seeing one of those little vacuum cleaners that kind of run themselves.
Oh yeah,
and it'll sweep for a little while, and then if it hits a bump, it'll ricochet off, and then it'll go into another corner. Well, that's how a lot of people lead their lives, Pastor.
Yes,
is that, you know, they'll wait till they hit, you know, they'll hit a road bump, and then I'll just go over this way.
Right.
Stop, and think about what you're going through.
Right.
Is sit down, get into the Word, and ask God. Say, God, okay, where am I supposed to be?
Right.
What am I supposed to do? Show me through your Word, or through maybe even someone, send them across my path.
Right.
And help me. Just, you know, just that word help is immediately, I mean, as soon as that comes out of your mouth, Jesus is on the scene.
Amen.
I can't, you know, I mean, there are so many things in my life that, I mean, I could sit here and talk for the next hour and 45 minutes about how God has brought me through.
Yes.
Has brought my daughter through the same type of trials and tribulations.
Right.
We just, you know, we kept hitting the tree. It's like, wait a minute, I've hit this tree 3 times. What am I doing wrong? Am I that ignorant that
right,
I would let myself hit that tree 3 times? Well, and here's God, Betty Lou, I tried to tell you, quit
right,
going up that path. And
right,
when I finally listened to him, you know what? The clouds broke, the sun came out, and everything was good. But I learned a lesson, you know?
Exactly.
And that's what he wants us to do, is that he's teaching us day by day, footstep by footstep,
that walk with me, talk with me, and he will listen.
Well, you're absolutely right. And, you know, that day of that storm that I was just telling that story, I really was not capable of paddling that kayak across in that kind of choppy water with that kind of rain coming down. I couldn't even see where I was going. So the plan changed, and I ended up walking around the island and finding the park ranger who came in a truck and got my kayak, and it was all fine. And it was like a different plan, but yet I got out of the mess I was in because it wasn't working. You understand what I'm saying? Megan, right, talk to me about that.
He gave you another way out.
He gave me another way, yes. Yes.
Yep. And you in that situation, realized the weakness of your physical body that
right.
you couldn't paddle across those waves back to where you had, you know, launched your kayak.
I couldn't.
And he showed you another way out
right.
to get out of your kayak, and then he sent the park ranger to help you.
Right.
So, you know, no matter what situation you're faced with, there's different angles of paths that you can go down when you're going through an issue. And you can either choose, like we've been talking about, the same path that you've always been on, and you're going to keep ricocheting like a ping pong inside of a box, or you're going to take the path of righteousness and let the Lord lead you and walk safely behind him and let him fight your battles for you.
Amen.
And you won't be ricocheting around like a loose racquetball.
I mean, amen.
It's just that simple.
Amen. We are going on with this in Galatians 2. We're going to get into an interesting story here at the top of the hour, starting with verse 11, if you have your Bibles. If you are in the Tampa Bay area, we welcome you to one of our services. We are always Sunday morning and Wednesday night. It's been that way for a long time. We did switch for a short time to a Sunday evening, but that did not work out. So we are Sunday morning, 10:30, and we are Wednesday night at 7 for Bible study. And if we know in advance, if you want to Skype into Bible study, we can make that happen on Wednesday nights. And you just have to let us know. You can email me, pastor@bohmglobal.com. We are always on the air every Sunday afternoon from 3 to 5 Tampa time. And we have a website that is full of some of our old radio shows, tons of them. This is actually show number 332 today. We've done so many, and we've got tons of them on our Beacon of Hope website. So go to www.beaconofhopeministries.com, and you can access our website, what we believe. There's photos there. There's fun stuff. And there's a lot of radio shows, and it's really like School of the Holy Spirit right there. You can go and listen. Betty, Megan, do either of you ever listen to any of the old shows?
Oh, heavens, oh. Yes.
Yes.
It's fun, isn't it?
It is fun.
Oh.
And, you know, I go back and listen to them when I'm out walking or running.
Okay, cool.
And it's just my time with the Lord, and it's just, it's so cool to hear, you know, the real life situations that, you know, that the people that are on the radio of what they've been through.
Right.
And the trials that they've had, but there's testimonies on the other side.
Amen.
It's just an uplifting thing to listen to.
So go and access it, beaconofhopeministries.com. Tell some people, tell some friends. Good way to learn the Word. The format is music, it's chat, it's teaching the Word. And it will bless your life. Let's do station ID. We'll be right back.
WTAN, Clearwater, Tampa Bay. WDCF, Dade City, Tampa Bay. WZHR, Zephyr Hills, Tampa Bay. Listen.
Welcome back to Living the Good Life. From Beacon of Hope Ministries, we are located in Clearwater, Florida. This is Pastor Marcia McAllister with two of my radio team, Betty and her daughter Megan, up in Indiana, where I was this past week and didn't get to see you, my dear friends. Next time I will, but I was so busy with my identical twin great-granddaughters, who are a miracle and so gorgeous. And I tell you, God answers prayer. You remember back several weeks back when my granddaughter almost lost them at 23 weeks in pregnancy, but she carried them all the way to 35, and they were delivered beautifully and healthy and whole, and all is well. God answers prayer, Betty. He answers prayer.
Oh, amen and amen and amen. You know, when you talk about answered prayer, I get excited, you know?
Amen.
It is so awesome to know that when we talk to God, it's like he's our wireless, he's wireless, you know?
There you go.
We don't have to have a device to talk to him. We can talk to him any place, anywhere, anytime, and that's just the beginning of what God can do. And
amen.
It's really neat how you guys even have a prayer service that is, you know, going on 24 hours a day, 7 days a week,
yes.
365 days a year, that if someone just doesn't have the strength to pray, that they can send in a request and say, hey, I need help. And that's all it takes. And then you've got people, I mean, it's just like hearing a signals just going off, you know, from every part of the country and the world of people praying for that
Amen.
Individual.
It's just amazing. I just thank God for that prayer team. And I'll tell you what, with everything that happened with my granddaughter and these babies, I know it was prayer that caused them to hang in there, and for my granddaughter to hang in there day after day after day to deliver them healthy and whole and of the right weight. And of course, they're beautiful. They're absolutely gorgeous. So, but that's just an answer to prayer right there. And God does hear an answer. God will meet you right where your situation, right where you are right now. Listen to this song by Stephen Curtis Chapman. God will meet you there. Jesus will meet you there.
When you think you've hit the bottom, and the bottom gives way, and you fall into darkness, no words can explain. You don't know how you make it out alive. Jesus will meet you there. When the doctor says, I'm sorry, we don't know what else to do. And you're looking at your family, wondering how they'll make it through. Whatever road this life takes you down, Jesus will meet you there. He knows the way to wherever you are. He knows the way to the depths of your heart. He knows the way, 'cause he's already been where you're going. Jesus will meet you there. Jury says guilty, and the prison doors close. One you love says nothing, but just packs up and goes. When sunlight comes and your world's still dark, Jesus will meet you there. When you failed again and all your second chances have been used, and the heavy weight of guilt and shame is crushing down on you, and all you have is one last cry for help, Jesus will meet you there. He knows the way to wherever you are. He knows. knows the way, 'cause he's already been where you're going. When you realize the dreams you've had for your child won't come true, and when the phone rings in the middle of the night with tragic news, whatever valley you must walk through, Jesus will meet you there. He will meet you there. Jesus will meet you.
Praise God. No matter what we're going through, Jesus will meet us right there. That song is so beautiful. There are so many times in our lives where we need that reassurance that Jesus is right there. We're going to talk about Galatians 2:11. We're going to start here and describe an incident that was going on in Antioch, one of the cities where Paul had planted a church in Antioch. And there was a situation that developed. And keep in mind this theme of this song we just played. Jesus will meet you there. Sometimes in our lives, and when we are even operating the calling that God has on our lives, we can get astray. We can get out of sync. We can get out of the right center, out of the center of God's perfect will for us. And we can get off into our own way of doing things. Again, Jesus is going to meet you right there, right where you are. And he's going to send help. He really is. So in Galatians 2:11, when Peter came to Antioch, I had a face-to-face confrontation with him because he was out of line. This is what Paul is saying. Here's the situation. Earlier, before certain persons had come from James, that means James and John, the leaders of the church, Peter regularly had eaten with the non-Jews. But when that conservative group came from Jerusalem, he cautiously pulled back and put as much distance as he could manage between himself and his non-Jewish friends. That's how fearful. There's a word right there in the Message Bible. That's how fearful he was of the conservative Jewish clique that's been pushing the old system of circumcision. Unfortunately, the rest of the Jews in the Antioch church joined in the hypocrisy. And all these people were really hypocritical in that Peter had been eating, hanging out with non-Jews. Well, we're getting some lightning flashes here. So if we lose you for just a minute, we'll get it back as quick as we can. But Peter had been hanging out with these non-Jews, eating with them, spending time talking to them. Everything was fine. But when the Jewish leaders came from Jerusalem to Antioch, Peter suddenly didn't know these non-Jews that he had been having lunch with. And suddenly there is a church problem that develops as a result of the hypocrisy of Peter, the disciple. Peter, James, and John, the three closest people closest to Jesus when he walked this earth. And here is Peter. And what I love about this, Betty and Megan, is that Peter is human just like us. And he got led astray. He got into this people-pleasing thing where he wanted the Jewish leadership from Jerusalem to think highly of him. And he knew it would probably make them mad if they saw him eating and hanging out with non-Jews. So when the religious leaders come, Peter just simply quits eating with the non-Jews. And Paul, and here is what God does so often. Sometimes God will point out the error of our ways. The hypocrisy of our behavior sometimes. Maybe he'll use a pastor or a leader or a teacher in the word, somebody to say, wait a minute, now that's not quite right, is it? Let's talk about this. And this is what happened here. And Peter had to realize he was wrong here in absolutely pulling away from the non-Jews just to make the Jewish leaders happy. Betty, talk to me about this. You see the picture going on here, right?
Yeah.
Why'd you say it like that?
Well, I might, you know, I may have done that a couple times myself back in the old days.
All righty then. Okay.
Is that...
good point.
I had a incident just last week where I actually was a hypocrite.
Whoa.
And, you know, I've been saved since 1985, but it just shows that, you know, Peter was human. I'm
right.
human.
Right.
And we make mistakes.
We make mistakes.
Yep. And it was a gentleman that was selling carpet.
Okay.
And he was telling me, you know, how, you know, we can talk out both sides of our mouth and not even know it.
Right.
And it's like, oh, I've been doing that, but I didn't tell him what it was. But I had to repent because of my hypocrisy.
Okay.
And the way that I was treating one person when some people were around and how I treated that person when no one was around.
Oh, okay.
And it became almost someone else had to bring it to my attention.
Which is what happened right here. Paul had to bring it to Peter's attention.
Exactly. And
right.
It's like, and this was a total stranger I had never seen, talked to, ever heard before. But it's just, God, I'm sorry. You know, Jesus was friend to sinners. And I've been listening to that song by Kathleen Crown.
I love that song.
And it's like, I was pointing fingers, but I wasn't the one to be pointing the fingers. That's not my job.
Okay.
My job was not to point fingers.
Right.
Mine was not the sword to swing. I was the one that had to stop what I was doing because it wasn't right in God's eyes.
Well, thank God that you, number one, allowed yourself to be corrected by the Holy Spirit through this person. And thank God that you learned from it and that you're even bold enough to share it on the airwaves today. I mean, that takes a big person. It really does.
Well, and I only say this because if I can help someone else, that's what I want to do.
Right.
And that it takes a person who is willing to change.
Exactly. That's it right there.
Yep.
And a lot of people aren't. Now, Peter stood corrected here, and it all turned out okay. But sometimes, you know, people don't want any correction, and they get mad, and they leave church. I mean, believe me, having been a pastor for 30-some years, I have been around this kind of stuff so much when correction has to be given to someone because of something that is happening, and they get mad, and they just leave. I mean, I can't begin to tell you how many times that's happened. Talk to me, Megan. Betty, were you done with your thought, or I don't want to cut you off?
Oh, no, you're perfectly fine. Just, hey, let the Holy Spirit move.
Okay, Megan, talk to me about this, because it is a common problem, isn't it, where we can become very hypocritical in our behavior.
Well, yes, and, you know, especially within a church body.
Right.
And, you know, we're all united as one. We are here on earth. We are the body of Christ.
Right.
And, you know, if you're hypocritical of another Christian, I hate to tell you, but you're going to get called out in some way.
Somehow.
The error of your ways.
Right. It's going to happen.
Exactly. And it's just like, you know, mom being able to admit that she had done that and that she asked the Lord to forgive her.
Right.
And, you know, we are human. We make mistakes. That's the way that we are because, you know, it's just our nature that we never can walk in perfection.
Right.
And if someone's trying to achieve perfection, you know, I hate to tell you, I'm only 32 years old, but it's not going to happen.
It's just not going to happen.
There's no perfection on earth. And we're human, and the only perfect person, perfect being was Jesus himself.
Right.
So here we are down here, and we need to be able to be a big enough Christian to be able to be told that, hey, you know, just like with Peter,
what were you doing over here? Did you think that, you know, that when we came in town that if you ran off that we're not going to know what you did and that God's not going to see what you were
yeah,
doing?
What were you thinking? Come yeah, on, man. What were you thinking?
Right here, you know, it's like God sees everything.
Absolutely.
So, amen. Before you sin, I mean, if you're a Christian and you've got the Lord in your heart and you've got the Holy Spirit with you, when you're getting ready to, you know, maybe judge someone or become hypocritical, you should be able to recognize what you're getting ready to do and stop yourself.
And stop it. But, you know, sometimes...
And otherwise, you know, in my book, if you're not ready or willing to stop it, then you haven't fully surrendered your life to the Lord because you're still walking in your old ways. Because if you're hypocritical now, that means you were hypocritical in the past. So get rid of the junk. Throw it out on the street and let the garbage man come pick it up.
But the thing, right, I agree with you. The thing what's going on here in this passage is that Peter was being a people pleaser. He was trying his best to make everybody happy at once. And there's fear coming in right there. He was afraid of the Jewish leaders getting mad at him. And I think a lot of times we are so afraid of somebody's anger at us that we don't want to stand up for what is right. And we get bogged down with rule keeping. Keeping rules, keeping all that, instead of allowing God to lead us and teach us and correct us. Mm-hmm. Talk to me, Betty.
Well, I'm going to throw in another point here.
All right. You go right ahead.
Yeah, may I do that, please, Pastor?
Please do it, Betty.
Okay, thank you. There are some people that walk this earth that think that they don't do anything wrong.
There you go. I know it. Been there, I understand.
And it's like if you would, unless I'm just going to use myself for an example. If I was doing something that was not glorifying God, and you caught me on it, and I was one of those people that said I didn't do that because I don't think I do anything wrong. That is the enemy convincing you that you are infallible,
right?
That you don't do this for Christ, yada yada yada, and that was so Peter, and it's like stop and think about what you're doing.
Right.
If the Bible, not necessarily in this chapter, I'm sure you would know that if there's a brother or sister that is not walking in the light.
Right.
And that they bring you into correction, which is what the Lord wants us to do. He wants us to walk in the light.
Right.
But if somehow we slipped over into darkness, he wants us to come back into the light.
Yes.
And that's how he does it. If you ain't listening, this is Indiana grammar again.
Yeah, that's all right.
If you ain't listening,
right,
maybe someone else God has sent your way to correct you. Listen to them.
Absolutely.
Pray together and resolve the issue. Don't get your panties in a wad and run out of the church, because that's not going to solve anything at all. Because, you know, I'm not betting that. I'm not a betting person. But I can almost guarantee you that if they don't get that little incident corrected and they kind of, you know, go out into another pasture and see it and seek another shepherd covering, that issue might raise itself.
It does. It does. It does. And I can tell you that one of the hardest parts I have found of being a pastor all these years is when I do have to sit somebody down and bring correction and say, wait a minute, your lies are catching up with you, and you've got yourself, you've really spun a web here, and we got to get you out of this. We got to get you to the point that you recognize what you're doing. I'm just using that as an example, and that you need to repent and get this straightened out because it's causing problems. But I can tell you from experience, Betty and Megan, when I have had to do that type of correction, most times people don't receive it. Most times they bolt and run. They jump up, you know, and out the door they go, and you don't see them again until the next time they come back around and visit the church or come back or whatever. I have gone through this so many times. And so I see this encounter, this confrontation with Paul, with Peter, as being an amazing way to be a leader, where you call the truth out and you say, wait a minute, Peter, this is hypocrisy. Okay. Now, Peter received it. Praise God, he received it. Okay. And he changed his ways. But it's an admonition to all of us to allow God to correct us. And when God does not, when we don't listen to him, he's going to send somebody else. You know, talk to me, Megan, about this, because he is. He's going to, somebody else is going to come across your path to bring correction, you know, where
That's
needed.
Right. That's right, because, you know, I've had a friend that I tried several times to, I don't want to use the word correct because it really wasn't that way, but trying to minister to this person,
right,
that, you know, you're down in despair, and here you are on the couch with the TV on, pouting, basically.
Right. Yeah.
And it's like, how many times do I have to tell you to get your tushy
right
off of the couch, get your Bible out,
right,
ask for help,
yes,
from the Lord, quit texting people and getting mad when your best friend don't answer her phone.
Right.
Because you need to vent. Vent to your Heavenly Father.
Amen.
And let change your situation. Mm-hmm. Because,
Woo!
Pastor, if you're laying on the sofa in despair, worry, depression, guess what you're doing? You're letting Satan win.
Absolutely.
And that's exactly what he wants from every human on this earth, is he wants to control you.
Because
and when you step
yes
up off of the couch,
yes,
and you claim your healing and you claim your righteousness,
Woo!
With the Lord,
yes,
Satan is going to get mad. And guess what? It might get a little worse, but you got to keep letting the Lord fight for you.
Yes.
So that you can keep walking in peace.
Amen. Well, and thank you, preach it, girl. And those are opportunities to see what you're made of and allow God to work in your life. Just like Peter could have bolted. He could have been mad. He could have run out. I don't want anything to do with you, Paul. But yet he took it like the godly man he was. Listen to this song, and we're going to talk more about this. Betty and Megan are fired up, and I love it, by Matt Redman. Jesus, only Jesus. Listen to this.
Who has the power to raise the dead? Who can save us from our sin? He is our hope, our righteousness. Jesus, only Jesus. And who can make the blind to see? Who holds the keys that set us free? He paid it all to bring us peace. His name is Jesus, only Jesus.
that's the answer to all this that we're talking about today. All those times where we are overcome by people pleasing, by fear, by anxiety, by worry about what people think about us, all of this. The answer is Jesus. Jesus, only Jesus. Let's go to Galatians 2:19, and then Betty, I'm going to talk to you about this. What actually took place is this. This is Paul saying this. I tried keeping rules and working my head off to please God, and it didn't work. So I quit being a law man. That's a rule keeper. Paul says, I was trying to keep all the rules. I was trying to keep all the law. Guys, you know you can't keep all that law in the Old Testament back there in the book of Leviticus and Numbers and all that. You can't do that. You can't do that stuff. You wouldn't even be eating a cheeseburger today if you could do that because you couldn't eat cheese. Etc. I could go on and on about all the things you couldn't do if you were a law man. Okay? So what Paul says here is, so I decided I quit being a law man. This is a Message Bible, so that I could be God's man. Christ's life, that's Jesus' life, the life of Jesus showed me how and enabled me to do it. I identified myself completely with him. Oh my. Indeed, I have been crucified with Christ. I never got to this point in my sermon this morning, Betty and Megan. I love this point. I love it the way I memorized it years ago. I have been crucified with Christ, and I don't live, but Christ lives in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who gave himself for me. I love what it says here next in the Message Bible. My ego is no longer central. It is no longer important that I appear righteous before you or have your good opinion. And I am no longer driven to impress God. Christ lives in me. There is so much to talk about here, and we only have a few more minutes. So talk to me, Megan, and then Betty, and then Megan, get ready to comment here. My ego is no longer central. It is no longer important that I appear righteous before you or have your good opinion. I am no longer driven to impress God. Christ lives in me. Go, Betty.
Back in 1985, I died. My sins went away.
Amen. When you got saved, yes?
Amen.
Yeah.
And I died. I mean, a part of me died, but it was the old part. It was the law
right. Back
in, you know, in that scripture that died, and I became a new life in Christ.
Amen.
And I had to let a lot of things died with me at that altar, is that I let go of my self-centeredness.
Okay.
I let go of the me syndrome.
Yeah.
I let go of a lot of things that drove me in my secular life.
Right.
And when I died to self, I wanted to become more like Christ. I didn't want to walk in darkness anymore, and I wanted to walk in the light. And it's by faith that I live every day in his mercy and his grace that follow me, because his love, he loved me so much as he also did Peter, that he died for us. And that to me is still, I still can't fathom anyone dying for me.
Right. Isn't that amazing? It is.
It is. I mean, I've been a Christian a long time, but I've loved the Lord more and more each day.
Amen.
From that time on. And I think that's what happened to him, is that he didn't want to be a law. He didn't want to live by the law anymore. He didn't
right. Want
to live by that. He wanted to live by what Christ has given him.
Woo.
And what he for us.
And he allowed, he said, my ego is no longer central.
Mm-hmm.
Talk to me, Megan, because I think this is really what gets most people to a place where they just drift away from God. It becomes this thing. It's all about me, like your mom just said. It's that ego-driven life. You know, what satisfies me? What makes me happy? What makes me, you know what I'm saying?
Right. Exactly. It's that egotistical aura that people carry
yes.
on them
yes.
of,
you know, I have an expensive house, I've got the nice car, I've got a good-looking spouse or a significant other, whatever. It's not about that. It's not about what makes you happy.
Right.
It's about what are you doing in your life to make the Lord happy.
Amen.
Of what you're doing.
Exactly. Yeah.
And, you know, when it was so cool when you know, the scripture about saying I was crucified with Christ because he lives in me.
Right.
And the way that I interpret that is that when you give your life to the Lord, you are crucifying. You should be crucifying your old self.
Amen.
You know, all those, your own ego, your selfishness, your hypocriticalness.
Right.
I mean, everything should be out the window, Pastor.
It should.
And you should be doing things for the glory of the Lord.
Amen.
Not for the glory of yourself or other people.
Exactly. Exactly. And, you know, and here we have Peter, who was so close to Jesus, but he got into that hypocrisy. And we can all slip into the devil's web in different areas of our lives, especially when we are ego-driven, I believe. Because so often it's about how do I appear? How do I come across? How do people think about me? What do they think about me? Betty, talk to me about this.
Well, I'm going to tell you a little story.
All right, here she goes.
Here I go. When you get to the point that you think you can do it all, God takes a step back. And
right.
He wants to see where you're going, what you're doing, and why are you trying to please other people?
Right.
When you should
yeah.
be pleasing me.
Amen.
And he wants us, Pastor, I believe with all my heart that he wants us to draw closer to him.
Amen. That's it. That's the goal all the time. That's the goal.
And he wants us to walk with him and talk with him.
Amen.
And have open communication. I mean, we can tell somebody, you know, that makes us mad, we can tell them off, or
right.
we can talk to whoever. But when it comes to talking to the Lord, we have a communication gap.
Right.
And drop the self-centeredness.
Right.
Drop the ego. And some people, even the people that I know, I believe that they think that they're God themselves.
Right. Yeah.
And I know that sounds, here I go again. It just sounds so imaginable.
Yeah.
To think that people can outthink God. They don't need him. I can do this all on my own.
Right.
And it's like, you can talk to them till they're blue in the face, till you're blue in the face, and until they want to listen.
Exactly.
Until they have that slight little, you know, kind of peek or little gap or little peek around the corner, until they're ready to listen, you just pray for them.
Well, they, you know, they're, sadly, a lot of people have to get to a point where they have a crossroads experience. It's been my experience,
yes,
that so often people have to have something happen. It can be, you know, an illness. It can be a tragedy. It can be just somebody walking out of your life. It can be losing a job. It can be whatever it is. It's a wake up moment, a time of what I like to call a come to Jesus moment, you know, where you're just like, whoa, oh my, look at all this going on in my life. And suddenly you realize I need Jesus. I need God. And, you know, we can try our best to make life work out the way we want it to work out. We can say when we're kids, I want 2.3 kids, you know, or whatever that is. Excuse me for the cough here. We can say, I want to marry this type of person, or I want to marry this particular person. I want this particular career. And you both know that I was headed to med school and in pre-med and all of that. And back in 1970, that dates me, doesn't it? When they were not taking very many women. In fact, that year, only two women were accepted into the Indiana University School of Medicine. And I was told that I didn't get in because I'd already been married 2 years. And I said to them that I wanted a family. And they asked me, how many children do you want? And I said, well, at least 3 or 4 or 5. And, of course, I was just naive and young, you know, to even answer that way. But as a result of it, I did not get into medical school in all my life. That's all I had wanted to do. Not realizing that God's plan for me was a physician, all right, but a physician with the healing power of Almighty God working through my life. But I saw it as, oh my life is ruined. Here I am. I've only always wanted to be a doctor, a medical doctor, and now I cannot be that. You know, and so the course of my life changed, but oh, I thank God that it did, because I would rather be doing exactly what I'm doing today than to be practicing medicine. I can say that from the bottom of my heart. God knew what was best. And so I give you that personal example because so often we think we know what is best. We plan our lives, you know, and then we start keeping the rules associated with that plan. You know, you got to go to med school. You got to go through pre-med, which I did. You know, we got to do this. We got to do that. We got to all this. And we start down the path of making our plan for our life. And God is just grinning going, really? Really? You really think that's the way it's going to go? And I sit here on the air today, you know, realizing I never did accomplish that goal and never will. But thank God that I didn't. Thank God that I surrendered to him at age 16 and said, okay, whatever you want, even though I didn't realize at the time it was going to mean not to be the career, have the career I wanted. Talk to me about all that. Megan, talk to me.
Well, you know, and I have to tell you personally, thank you for surrendering to God's plan because, you know, you wouldn't have met us, and we wouldn't have met you, and you
That's
wouldn't
true.
Have met and ministered to all the people that you have over the years that you've been preaching. So that's a miracle. And, you
Praise
know,
God.
It's just so sad that I can imagine how many people are walking around right now trying to be and make their own destiny.
Exactly.
And it's probably just not working out real well for them. And that breaks my heart because I know that breaks the Lord's heart that people are so aimlessly wandering around like horses with, you know, blinders on that they can't see around them. They're just focused on one thing, and they can't just let go and let God lead them where they're supposed to go.
Megan, I agree with you, and I've got it. God just told me to say this, too. God, I first felt God's touch on my life when I was 4 years old, okay? Felt that God wanted me in ministry, but I didn't understand it. I was 4 years old. The next time, I was 16, and I was at an altar in Indiana, Marion, Indiana. My dad was preaching a revival, and I fell before God across that altar and felt like God was calling me to be a minister of the gospel. And I said to him at age 16, I'll be the best medical doctor I can be for you, because that was my plan, and I'll go to Africa and be a missionary or any place else you want me just so I get to be a medical doctor. My plan, right? So God said, okay, well, we'll fix your wagon here. Just not yet. I'm going to let you go through a few things before I fix your wagon. You know what I'm saying? And you know, God is such a sense of humor. And he all the time, though, Betty, has the plan for our lives. Talk to me, Betty. Woo.
Amen. And I have to say that I'm glad that you chose the path that you walked because
God chose it. I just finally got in. I just finally got in sync with the plan. You know what I mean?
You know, you're right where God wants you, and it just blesses my socks off that, you know, your pastor and my friend, and that God is pleased with you, my child. And so much way wanted me to tell you. And it boils down to the fact that it's not always what we want, Pastor.
Amen.
And it takes the person that you are to say, and to the listeners, is that, God, am I where you want me to be?
Amen.
Am I doing what you want me to do?
Amen.
Am I walking a path that is going to be destructive for me, or am I walking the path that you want me to walk?
Amen.
It comes down to the fact that we have to make a decision. We have to step, and I'm going to say, I've said this before on the radio, we have to step outside that comfort zone. We have got to step outside the box. We have got to overcome our fear, our anxiety, and we have got to replace that with peace and understanding.
Amen.
That God will never leave us nor forsake us.
Woo.
He has taken us under his wing, and he is protecting us. No matter where you are, no matter where you're sitting, no matter where you think that you're going, is that God has a plan for you.
Praise
and
God.
It's whether it's healing, whether it's an overcoming of a bad relationship, whether it's you've received a phone call and it just wasn't the best news that you have ever heard. In fact, it was a devastating comment that someone made to you, is that realize that you are an overcomer in Christ.
Amen.
And that you will overcome this with the help of the Lord.
Amen.
Call upon the Lord and he will hear you.
Praise God.
And it's just like that song that you played with Stephen Curtis Chapman.
Right.
No matter what kind of news that we hear, God is always with us.
He's going to meet you right there.
Amen.
Woo! And it's all about learning to be crucified with Christ. Listen to this song by that title, Crucified with Christ, by Phillips, Craig, and Dean.
Sacrifice, for I
great song. I love it. Go with me to John 14. I want to read these verses, and we'll get Betty and Megan back in here. John 14, 26. But the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, these are the words of Jesus, by the way, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. Verse 27 of John 14, Jesus said this, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. I do not give it to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. What this show has been talking about is getting to a place where we realize we need God and we need His plan, and we are not going to be afraid of what tomorrow might bring. We are not going to get off into anxiety and rule keeping and trying to please everybody all the time. But our goal and our focus must become to please our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That is the most important thing that we can do. Betty, talk to me.
Well, I think that you've hit on a very important element, is that to believe in God.
Amen.
And believe that, you know, He died for
Amen.
Us.
Amen.
And that when we look fear, anxiety in the face, we tell them, be gone in the name of
Amen.
Jesus.
Amen. Amen. Yes.
Because it does that fear and anxiety that I'm sure that we all feel at some point in our lives is not from God, people.
Right.
He gives us what you just read. He gives us peace.
Amen.
The peace that He gives us, the peace that He wants to leave with us is so adamantly available to
Amen.
Us every single day of the week, year, month, whatever. But it comes down to the point is that when you put fear, anxiety, anger, all of those things that come from the enemy himself, is that you have the authority.
Yes.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Come against them and ask God to replace all of those things that come from darkness. Have Him bring you into the light and show you His peace.
Ooh.
The peace that passes all understanding. The one that gives you life and gives it to you abundantly.
Yes.
Reach out, people, and take it, because it is theirs. It's there for you.
Amen and amen. Oh. Woo! All right, girl. Megan, talk to me. Yes, it is all about reaching out and taking that peace, isn't it?
It is. And, you know, in order to do that, we have to stop being a coward.
Amen.
We have to start being courageous.
Yes.
So get up Amen. Off of the
yeah.
off of the pity party bed,
right?
And get out into the light of the Lord and claim your peace.
Amen.
Because, you know, people that are sitting on the sidelines of this game of life, which I don't
right.
really necessarily want to call it a game of life, but just as an example, is you need to get out and be in the field
yes.
and play
yes.
and play for the Lord, not for yourself.
Exactly.
When you do that,
Amen.
You will claim win after win after win for the glory of the Lord.
Amen, amen. And it's amen. Time to get serious about all of this. Why walk around all burdened down by anxiety and worry and fear when Jesus has provided the answer? You know, it's just like somebody walks around sick. It happened to my son this week and in Indiana, and he got bird flu, guys, from cleaning out the chicken coop. And, I mean, it was very, very serious. He ended up,
yeah.
he's a very strong man, so he didn't want to go to the doctor, you know, no way, I'm fine, I'll get better. The cough got worse and worse and worse. And actually what happened by Thursday is it had developed into pneumonia. Because he didn't want to face it and go deal with it, even though on Tuesday he had gone to the doctor, but it got worse, you know? So when he finally got on the right medication, whatever, and was seeing what needed to happen here to get well, it took decisive action. It took, you know, getting off of your butt and getting there, get what you needed for the medication, get what treatments you needed. He had to be on breathing treatments, and he's now today doing so much better. But again, we can get stuck in a rut. Well, it'll get better on its own. You know, I'll get over this fear. I'll get over this anxiety. I'll get over this worry. I'll get over this bird flu on my own or whatever, that you have going on in your life. Oh, it's okay. It'll be all right. It'll go away, blah, blah. It does not go away until we get serious about it and say, I'm not going to live with this any longer. I choose peace. I take the Prince of Peace into my life, Jesus. I will be crucified with him. I will live by faith in the Son of God. I will get serious about my commitment to Almighty God. Woo. Uh-huh. And that's what it takes. So talk to me. Megan, talk to me. Some final words. I didn't realize the clock. It's getting there. So give me some final concepts
here.
Time flies. Wow. Doesn't it? 2 hours? Wow.
It does. Well, final thoughts are, just as I've probably said before, I'm going to say it again. When the listeners or whoever's out there listens to this broadcast, when you finally realize that you've had enough and that you can't take it anymore,
right,
that you're ready to relinquish control, then hit the floor and ask for the help from God.
Amen.
Because he can heal any situation.
Woo.
We just have to be willing and faithful to let him do it in his timing, because,
amen,
like we've said through this whole entire thing, our timing is not his timing.
Right.
So we have to learn patience, and that's a very hard thing to learn. I can tell you that myself. But in order to be healed, we have to be ready to claim it, and we have to charge forth in our healing.
Amen.
Not go back into the old ways of what we've done before.
Right.
Because that gets us nowhere. That gets Satan what he wants. And I'm going to tell you, don't let Satan control your life.
Amen.
Because you will never, ever have any peace in your life.
Absolutely.
Ever.
Yes, go ahead.
I just wish for everyone that hears this that you you claim your peace and that you become courageous in the Lord and that you charge forth like a mighty steam engine on your path of the Lord's way for you.
Amen. And you got to choose peace. You just said it, Megan.
Amen.
You got to choose it. You got to go after it. In fact, there's a scripture that says, pursue peace, crave it. We were talking about that this morning in my sermon. You got to crave it. You got to desire peace, and that you'd rather have peace than all the chaos around you. Betty, a final word. Thank you, Megan. You're just a delight. We love you so much. Betty, talk to us.
Thank you for letting me be on.
Always. We love you. Yes. Hey, Betty, you there?
Yes, I'm here. They will soar on wings like eagles.
Woo.
They will run and not grow weary.
Yes.
They will walk and not be faint. Speaking to the listeners right now is that if you feel that you're sinking into a deep, dark hole and you're not going to be able to get out, there is a light.
Amen.
That shines very brightly. His name is Jesus.
Ooh.
And I encourage you to get in the Word.
Amen. That's the answer.
Not just periodically, but I'm talking, let it permeate your spirit, your soul, your mind, every being in your body. If you can't read it, get it on tape,
or
CD. If you can't get it that way, there are so many devices, but you need to get into the Word and let it, and get a version that you understand.
Amen.
And I understand that there's the King James Version, the New King James Version. Get a version that ministers to you. Oh, well, my pastor uses the KJV. I never saw anything any different than that. Get you a version that you understand.
Right. Like the Message Bible that we teach
right?
out of.
Yes, and I love that Bible, and I'm so glad that you brought that to our attention when we were down there in the great state of Florida.
Right.
It has made the biggest difference in, if you read it, I don't understand it. But when I read it in the Message Bible, it just comes alive.
It does come alive.
That's today. We want Jesus to come alive in people's lives.
Amen. Amen. That's it right there. Thank you, Betty. You two are just a blessing. Thank you so much for being on the show today. for all of you out there that maybe you don't have a home church and there's nothing in your area that you can go to, we want you to join us at Beacon of Hope as part of the ministry. There are people who give tithes and offerings to this ministry that are, that don't really have a home church, that this radio show is their church. And we invite you to become a partner with us financially. Go to our website, beaconofhopeministries.com. Go to PayPal. You can give a donation. We are right now collecting money to move into our own facility. We are temporarily meeting in a hotel again. And we really need to get moved. And so any of you that feel led of the Lord to contribute financially, your tithes, your offerings, whatever, go to beaconofhopeministries.com, our website, go to PayPal and give your donation. It's a safe way to do that. So we invite you to become a financial partner with us. We invite you to go to our website and listen to some of the old radio shows. If you're in the Tampa Bay area, come and visit us Sunday morning at 10:30, Wednesday night at 7. We're in this new series, Free to Be. And so we encourage you, listen to the shows, tell other people about them, and above all, draw close to God, and He will draw close to you. It's not far to Jesus. He loves you so very much. You want to talk to me? You can. Pastor@BOHMGlobal.com. Send your prayer requests, prayers@BOHMGlobal.com. If you forget those email addresses, go to our website. It's right there. BeaconofHopeMinistries.com. God bless you. Have a great week. This has been Pastor Marcia McAllister, Betty, and Megan from our radio team from Beacon of Hope Ministries, bringing you the Word of God this day. Have a great week. We love you, and God loves you.
WTAN, Clearwater, Tampa Bay. WDCF, Dade City, Tampa Bay. WZHR, Zephyr Hills, Tampa Bay. Listen.